This is Divorce Happy Hour, a show about divorce and issues people face going through divorce. Your co-hosts are Christina Previtt and John Knocklinger. For more information about the show and to connect with us, head over to divorcehappyhour.com. And now, on to today's show.
Hey everybody, it's Friday. Happy Friday. I am Christina Previtt. I am your host of Divorce Happy Half Hour. You all may know we have a podcast, Divorce Happy Hour, which you can find wherever you listen to podcasts. And we've been coming on here on Facebook every week on Friday, 12:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for a half hour session, just to give you some little nuggets, short and sweet, about various divorce topics. John is supposed to be joining us today, but unfortunately he is having some technology problems. So he may pop in if he's able to fix those. If not, you're stuck with me. So today we are going to talk about child support. And I have to apologize. If you came on here last week, we were not here. We had some illness. John was sick and I was away. And so I apologize that we abandoned you last week. But we did talk about alimony. I believe John came on here and talked about child support. So I wanted to touch on that a little bit. So you may know already that in New Jersey and in most states, there are child support guidelines. And what that means is that basically what we do as practitioners is we just plug in income figures into the New Jersey Child Support Guidelines. So we have to know what your income is. We plug those numbers in and it spits out a number. I'm totally oversimplifying this, but there are some adjustments, but that is where you start. And you start with gross income. So it's really easy if you're a W-2 earner. We just look at what your W-2s say, what you earned for your gross. And we plug them in and you can make some other adjustments, which we'll talk about. But that's really where you start. There are some other things. If you have income on top of your salary, like bonuses, you know, whatever was not captured in your W-2. So if you have a side hustle, if you have, you know, some other benefits that you get, maybe you have VA benefits, or maybe someone gets some kind of Social Security benefit or something like that. If you get that, then that also has to be put in there as well. So once we have all your incomes, we put that in and that's our starting point. Some of you may be wondering, well, what do you do if someone isn't working? So generally, it depends why they're not working. If they are disabled, then, and they're getting some sort of disability benefits, depending on what those benefits are, and I don't want to get too far into the weeds today, but depending on what those are, we would include that as that person's income, or if they get some other income that's meant to replace income that they would otherwise get from work, then that gets included. If somebody is intentionally not working, meaning they're fully capable of working, but they're just not, then what the court will do is do an analysis as to what that person's qualifications are. What could they be doing? What would they probably be doing if they were working? What is their earning capacity? So it's not always based upon what you actually make. It's based upon what you're capable of making. And that also applies if you have somebody who, you know, let's say they're a doctor and they used to make $500,000 a year being a doctor, and then they quit their job to be an artist. Well, you can't really do that when you have child support obligations. The court will impute income. So, you know, that doesn't happen a lot. I mean, most people, we know what their income is, but sometimes you do get someone who isn't working or they're working far below their capacity. And there has to be a discussion about whether income should be imputed to them. So that's just something to be aware of. Then what we do moving from there is there are some adjustments. So for instance, if you, and I'm just going to give a couple of examples, you know, you could probably find this online. I really hate telling people to go find things online because depending on what you're looking up, it might not be reliable information. But if you go to njcourts.gov, you can find wonderful resources on there that are reliable about how child support is calculated, what's included, what's not included, what would be considered income, what is not. So if you do want to dive in and nerd out and get a lot more information about this than I can really do today, check out njcourts.gov. And I'll put a link in the comments for anybody that wants to go do that. But there are some adjustments. Like, for instance, if you're a teacher or a police officer, or you have a job where you have mandatory pension contributions and union dues, those will be included in the calculation and kind of backed out of your income because you don't have discretion over those things. It's something that's automatically taken out of your check, and it does reduce your gross income somewhat. So that should be factored in. And then if someone's getting alimony or paying alimony, if you did it before the tax laws changed, and therefore you're paying, the payor is deducting it and the person receiving it is getting, oh, John's here. Hey, John. So happy.
Hello.
You look so happy today. Happy Friday.
Happy Friday. I was just mediating. It was so much fun.
Oh, okay. And I thought you had some tech issues too. So, but anyway, we're here. John's here. Very glad to have him, my partner in crime. I was going over child support. I was really specifically going over how income was calculated and, you know, sort of how we go through the software, like what things get factored in, just so for people at home, if they're in a situation where they're trying to resolve their case with their spouse without attorneys, and the question will come up, what is child support supposed to be? I know that there are some calculators you can find online. And I know you talked about some of this probably last week. But here we are. You can't talk about child support too much. And so what I was saying is that there are some adjustments. I left off with mandatory pension contributions, mandatory union dues. Can you think of anything else that are more common that we see where they get sort of a deduction?
No, those are really the only two. Basically, it has to be something that you don't have a choice in the matter.
Yes. Okay. Yeah, I said that. So see, brilliant minds. But then some other things to be aware of when you're calculating child support is that if you can factor in work-related child care expenses, so if one or both of you are paying work-related, and I emphasize work-related, not babysitting to go out partying. That's on you. You have to pay for that. But if it's work-related, that gets factored in. Some people choose to factor that into the calculation, which basically means that it's already being factored in to what the payor is paying the payee. So you don't have to reimburse someone outside of that. Some people will choose not to do that because if their child care expenses change a lot, you don't want to have to keep redoing the child support calculation. Like if you have a kid that's in pre-K and then they're going into kindergarten soon and that's all going to change, or maybe you've got one kid that's at home and is going to be doing child care soon and it's changing constantly, you might want to just have the child care component be outside of the calculation. But, you know, that's something for you to figure out if that works for your family. So there's child care. There's also medical insurance premiums for the kids. And that is the added amount. And what I see a lot of people do is they just look at how much they pay and they think, okay, well, I've got myself and two kids on here. I'm just going to divide it by three. That's really not how you're supposed to do it. If you are comfortable doing it that way and you're both happy with that and you don't really want to nickel and dime each other, I support that. You go ahead and do it. But if you do want to do it, you know, the right way, I put that in finger quotes because I think we get a little too stuck on always doing things the right way. But if you want to do it that way, you would calculate, you know, let's just say it's mom that has the health insurance for the kids. You would see what mom is paying just for herself, if it was just her. And then you see what would the price be if it was a family plan, or, you know, her plus two dependents, or whatever the case may be. And then the difference is what is attributable to the kids. And that's what gets factored in. That is what the other parent has to contribute to. And then, you know, there's some other things that typically, as divorce lawyers, we do kind of customarily outside of the child support guidelines. And that is, like, one example is extracurricular activity expenses, summer camp, unreimbursed medical expenses, except that the first $250 per year per child is already factored into the guidelines calculation. So you would want to figure out, you know, how are we dividing things beyond that amount? And then the rest really just depends on your family, right? Like, if your kids are 2 and 3, they might not have a lot of extracurricular activity expenses, but they probably will at some point. But if they're 15 and 16, they may, especially if they're heavily involved in sports, and, you know, those things can get costly. Like, if you play hockey or lacrosse, I mean, dance, you know, those things are really expensive. So you might want to talk about how you're going to divide those things outside of the child support guidelines. But I have been rambling on long enough. I want to give John, you an opportunity to show us your brilliance.
Oh my goodness. Well, thank you. Well, I think you hit most of the things, Christina, already. But, you know, what's interesting about child support is there are people out there that are technical. Like, I need to know the exact dollar I'm entitled to from child support. And so all these things that you're talking about would be part of that, like, you have to, you know, get down to the nitty gritty of exactly how much someone's entitled to. Whereas the reality for a lot of people, I would say health insurance premiums are a great example. We live in a world where they change drastically year to year now. Same thing with childcare. I mean, and those are things that when Christine and I first started practicing, there wasn't as big of variations year to year as there are now. And so I actually, you know, I sort of recommend that a lot of people consider not including them in the child support amount and just splitting them separately, because they change so much. And child support, let's be honest, it is changeable, but changing child support's kind of a pain in the butt because it requires you to have more fights. So when you go through, when you go through
discussions, John,
discussions. but seriously, if you're looking at all these things that are deducted from child support, what is it that you are probably hearing us say? Places where you can fight with the person that you are having discussions with, the person that you're with, your co-parent, because each one of these things that we're talking about is a data point. So, like, could you argue about your income? Yes. Can you argue about who's claiming the child for tax purposes? Yes. Can you argue about how much the health insurance premium should be? I mean, sure you can. I mean, so there's all these things that you can argue about. And so child support, it's one of those things that typically it should be the easiest part of a divorce because it's a formula. But people forget you still have to agree on all the facts that go into the worksheet to get to the end point. And so I just think what's interesting about child support is that whoever is receiving it is always going to think it's too low. And the person paying it usually thinks it's too high. And depending on which side of the table you're sitting on, you're probably right, because it's supposed to be an average. And I think what people forget, Christina, is that it's what the state of New Jersey and their brilliant team of economists said that it should cost to raise children. We all know it's different for every family. And so I think the listener really should be mindful of the fact that, you know, child support should really fit your family. And particularly if you're mediating your divorce, like we advocate, it really allows you to have a more honest conversation about your children's expenses and, you know, what maybe would be appropriate in your family. But I know today we're talking a little bit about the guidelines themselves and a formula. But yeah, so it's just really important that whenever you start talking about these things, Christina, that you have all the information available. I can't tell you how many times someone has no clue how much health insurance costs. And so they do what you just suggested, is they just take the amount and they divide by the number of people that are in their family. And let me tell you something. Children are usually cheaper than adults with health
insurance. Are they?
Yeah. I mean, they're usually...
They don't shop at Neiman Marcus.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
Well, so, I mean, if they do. Sydney shops at Nordstrom.
Oh, yeah, she does. That's Sydney's my...
At least when she's with her Aunt Tina.
Oh, yeah. I don't know. Child support's interesting. I'll just give you... because one of the things we'd like to talk about on this show is, you know, trying to find common sense solutions that are not cookie cutter, that are not one size fits all. I'll just give you an example of the mediation I was just in the middle of before I had to hop on here. You know, there's no child support being paid because we went through all the child's expenses and we decided how we were dividing each and every one. And that worked for that family. And that's not something that a judge could ever order. And so you have to remember that whenever you go down this road of divorce, you control your own destiny. You control it all. And if you and your spouse want to sit down and come up with your unique way of caring for your children that no one else has ever done in the history of divorce in the world, you can do it because you have that power if you decide to resolve things on your own. But when you deal with child support, if you can't resolve things, we do at least have the child support guidelines that you can use.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the best situation is using mediation if you need someone to help you have this dialogue, or if you're able to have the dialogue yourselves. Look at your budget. It's kind of amazing how many people don't actually know what their budget is, and myself included. There's something called a case information statement that in a litigated divorce, everyone has to fill out. And you can Google that. Again, I'm giving you permission only to Google case information statement. So look at that. There's a budget. And I encourage everyone, if you're thinking about divorce or going through it, you will have to do this at some point, but fill out the budget, because we all spend probably more money than we think we do, because you might look at, okay, rent or mortgage, electricity, car payment, those sorts of things. But there's plenty of other stuff that you spend money on that you're kind of forgetting, or that maybe you don't spend money on every month, but maybe it's a little more intermittent, like Botox, for instance. Okay, that's important.
For example,
or lawn care. Okay, maybe that's a better example. But it's not something you necessarily have every month. So, but you want to make sure that you include it, because it's still an expense. It's better to have your budget maybe be a little too high than to have it be too low and then have oh shit moments later, like, oh man, why didn't I calculate my budget correctly? I forgot about those other expenses. So it's really important to spend some time on that. And that's something that you can both do individually. And then what you can also do is when you fill out the budget, look at, you know, what are strictly child-related expenses? Like, how often do the kids go to the doctor? You know, some kids do have some health concerns that maybe there's an extra cost. Dental, you know, are the kids coming up for braces? Is that going to be an expense? You know, there's things like that that you have to make sure you're budgeting for. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the kids' clothes, you know, food is sort of already included really with the family. But to the extent that you can, figure out how much do the kids really cost? You know, if I have to buy them sporting equipment because they're in a sport, figure out how much all that stuff is. And something people forget about a lot is like when the kids have to go to birthday parties and you have to buy a present and things like that. You know, figure out how much you really need aside from your own expenses. And again, I know it's impossible to separate all of them out, but try to figure out, you know, what expenses are really just for the kids. And then you guys can talk about, you know, how are we going to share that? Mm-hmm. Is one parent just going to give the other parent, you know, a set amount of money and that's it? Or is there going to be a set amount of money? And then we say, well, you know, for these few expenses, we'll just split them when they come up.
Yeah.
You know, you can be creative like that, and you can figure out how does this fit into our family and what is going to work for us, rather than having a judge tell you what you have to do, because you're going to be far more thoughtful about it than a judge is going to be.
Yeah, you absolutely will. And I'll say I just dropped into the comments a case information statement and the child support calculator from our state probation department. I do not endorse either one of these links, but at least this they will give you something to look at to understand some of what Christina was just talking about with the case information statement. I think it's a good exercise, even if you're not going through a divorce, just to go through and see how much you're actually spending. Because guess what? Newsflash, it's always more than you think it is. Always.
I do that budget. I look at that budget probably once a month. And then I'm horrified, like, damn, I need to make more money.
So. It's so true. It's so true. But I just can't. I can't get over, you know, how difficult people make child support, because you're absolutely right, Christina. If you just look at the child's expenses, there's usually a pretty common sense way you can address things. And, you know, but it requires people to be, you know, a little open-minded about, you know, the fact that you're splitting things with your ex. But think about it. There's things that are not included in child support. Like, once your kid gets to be like 17 years old and they want a car, guess what? Not included in child support. So you guys have to figure that out. You know,
judge will not necessarily order a parent to pay for that. So
they won't. No. And when you get to high school, the expenses explode. I mean, I can't tell you how many arguments I've had about, you know, prom expenses and, you know, a kid wants to take AP courses and take those tests and, you know, extra tutoring they might need for an SAT exam. Like, all those things, this is what I tell everyone I mediate for. We need to address everything that's foreseeable. And what is foreseeable? Your child will get older. Your child will go through the normal child experiences that most children go through. That means school dances. That means they're probably going to drive a car at some point. That means they might be going to college, maybe the, you know, pre-college expenses. Those things are all foreseeable. So whenever you're getting divorced and your kids are young, try not to think about what's right in front of your nose right now. You know, try not to think about what your kids are doing right now, and try to remember yourself as a child and think about all of the experiences you had until you got to college, and just try to make sure that you draft and you reach an agreement with your spouse that is, you know, flexible enough to address everything that's foreseeable in your child's future. And that, to me, is the best advice I can give anybody listening, that your child support agreement should be as flexible as it possibly can so that you don't have more fights in the future. I mean, what do you think about that, Christina?
Yeah. I mean, that's what I would leave people with, is I know a lot of people, when they're first starting out this process, they don't know what to do. They, you know, they want someone to tell them what to do. But I would say, you know, get guidance, but be empowered to make these decisions on your own, because it's your life, it's your family, you know, your children. You really know what's best for everybody. You know what can work for you as a family, and you know what you need moving forward. And, you know, let people guide you and give you information, but ultimately those decisions rest with you. And if you need help, we can help you at NetSquire with mediation. If that's something that you think you want to do, please feel free to go to our website at gethappydivorce.com, and you can book a consultation with one of us for free, and we can give you more information about that. Otherwise, please join us next Friday at 12:30 Eastern Time for Divorce Happy Half Hour. And if you ever want to listen to these later, because you can't join us at 12:30, you can go to Divorce Happy Hour on Facebook and watch the replay, or you can go to our podcast and we publish it there as well, and you can listen to it there. And again, if anybody wants us to talk about anything in particular, we're happy to do that. Just let us know. You can send us a DM anywhere on social media and we will put it on our itinerary. So everybody have a wonderful weekend. Happy Friday. And thank you for listening or watching.
Thank you for listening. For more information, check out divorcehappyhour.com. And please don't forget to subscribe so you don't miss an episode. See you next time.